Good morning, folks, and welcome. It's good to be together in the name of Christ. So welcome to those of you who are here in the room, and welcome to those who will listen or watch a little later on. And saying that also this morning, just to let you know that I'm doing a trial video recording of the service this morning, just to see how that goes. Now, it is zoomed up a lot, just mainly in this area, but there's one or two over here that may just have their backs on it. And if it all goes well, the idea is that that'll move forward and only get this area here. Now, it won't surprise you to know that I've been following lately a bit of the Artemis 2 mission to the moon that NASA are currently doing. And the video recording may be similar, because at the moment they're doing lots of trials, and there's fuel leaks, there's seals that aren't quite working. The latest this morning is that they may actually have to take it back into the building assembly thing because it's been sitting on the launch. So the video recording, it may go brilliantly, or we'll see how we go, okay? But if it does, it'll make a huge difference to what we do from week to week and up onto the website, etc. Welcome to the first Sunday in Lent. Now, I'm not sure if anyone took the opportunity to go to Ash Wednesday during the service, which is the start of Lent. I did the service at Iona on Wednesday, which was Ash Wednesday. And although we didn't do the Ashes bit, I actually followed through a lot of the Ash Wednesday. Did anyone get to do an Ash Wednesday thing at all?
Follows Shrove Tuesday.
Margot Stone, she went to the Anglican Church and shared in Shrove Tuesday with the pancakes, which is excellent. It's a really great thing to look up what the word Shrive means. That's a good thing to do for the start of Lent too. Shrove. Brenda, yes. Did you do something? What was it about Ash Wednesday? Yeah. Very meaningful. Brenda says very meaningful. Just get the oil and the ash in the forehead. Very meaningful, very moving, as well. And it is. It's an extraordinary thing. It's a really wonderful thing. Yes, Kate. And Kay was reiterating some of that about Ash Wednesday services. We'll see how we go. The psalm that is associated most clearly with Ash Wednesday is Psalm 51. And we're going to share in that in part, one of those verses in song, for our first song, and then a little bit more thoroughly shortly. But more about that. So we begin with Creating Me a Clean Heart, which is some verses from Psalm 51 as we begin our journey through Lent. And we'll remain seated as we sing.
Spirit within me, creating
We're going to continue reflection time as we begin the season of Lent. And this is one of the times in where the seasons of the church year can really help us. I mean, they all do, but particularly Lent is it's a bit more reflective. And people observing from outside and maybe inside would go, it's all a bit doom and gloom, isn't it, really? But this is part of what it is. It's this examination of ourselves and in the light of Christ's journey to Jerusalem. And how are we going to do that this morning? So this includes our prayer of confession and where we hear Psalm 51, verses 1 to 17. We're going to do that as we also sing the hymn, Just As I Am. And Rosemary and Glenda will lead us in the singing. In fact, they will sing the verses. If you want to sing the last line of the verse, you're welcome to do that. O Lamb of God, I come. But Glenda and Rosemary will sing the verses. Andrew will then read parts of Psalm 51. So there'll be a verse of Just As I Am, some verses from Psalm 51, a verse of Just As I Am, Psalm 51, etc. And as we do this, I invite you to use this as reflection, as confession, as we begin the journey of Lent. It may be that this takes us a little while, and that's okay. That's the intention, that we take this time just to pause and to be led through this. So thank you to Jenny and Glenda and Rosemary. And as I said, if you want to join in the last line, and then the very last verse, verse 6, we'll join together.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence, and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my sacred heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise.
We read in the Bible in 1 John chapter 1 that if we confess our sins to God, God will keep his promise and do what is right. God will forgive us and make us clean from all our wrongdoing. And so I say to you that because of the work of Christ, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross, and we meet in his name and we share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
I invite you to share a word of peace with those nearby. Rosemary's going to come forward and share some news of our life together, and then there's a few things I want to mention about life in our community, just different things that I also want to mention after that. Thank you, Rosemary.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Rosemary.
This week, Reflections articles are due by Wednesday, the 25th. It's a short month, so, and next Sunday is the first, so Dawn would like to have the magazine out by next Sunday. So, yeah, all articles in by Wednesday. Also on Wednesday, Reverend David is back at one table for coffee and chat at 10 a.m. On Tuesday, there's the Come and Meet Pastor Jeannie Feldmayer from Frontier Services Birkenwills remote area. Dona will bring her at 12 to say hello to the refreshed volunteers, refreshed as donated to that Frontier Services. And then they will be going to the community centre at 12:30, and everyone is welcome to share lunch with them. But please bring your own lunch. When Friday the 6th of March, which is next week, is the World Day of Prayer, and this year Indooroopilly and the Kenmore areas are uniting, so it's at St Andrew's Anglican Church, Indooroopilly, 89 Fairley Street. It's very limited parking there, so I'm suggesting meeting here at 8:45 to carpool. The service starts at 10, but we need to get one of those 10 car spaces out the front. So if you could let me know if you'd like to come too. I'll put this poster up the back. The country of focus is Nigeria, and they actually have a Nigerian speaker whose daughter goes to Indooroopilly High. So he'll be talking about his life in Nigeria and life coming to Australia. So it should be a very good service. But please let me know, and unless you're just going to catch the bus, we'll carpool. Now, all that weekend, also the 8th of March, it's only 2 weeks away, is the Coolin Classic Concert. First one for the year. So I'm inviting you to come and buy your season tickets or any other, you know, just single tickets. After church today, I'll be up the back there. And up there also is a list of jobs. Please tell Dawn what you would be willing to do. People are always do come on the day, but it's nice to have it on the list so you know who's available. So please do that as well. Nominations for church council need to be in by the 8th of March as well. So that's all, I think. Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much, Rosemary. As you go to the World Day of Prayer at St Andrews, there might be an opportunity while you're there to just check out how St Andrews do. They're one of the congregations around that have food available, a pantry available for people to come who need that, including some. Now, I think there's a refrigerated area around the back that's open 24 hours a day. Have you still got that mic, Andrew?
So they have a 24-hour pantry just as you go in the driveway on the left if you go in from Fairley Street. And that is for anybody who wants to access things like UHT milk or, you know, it's refrigerated. And then on the Monday from 12 to, 1:30, if I remember correctly, they just give out food hampers. Very, very generous, actually.
Yeah.
You know, as much bread as you like, and it's very well subscribed. They if you know anybody who needs it, they prefer to be emailed, so just to, so they know you're coming.
So it's a great opportunity just to have a conversation with them. There are a few other places that are doing that as well, and we're getting a list together about that as well to make available.
Yes, I did. We went to a World Day of Prayer meeting, or I did, on last Tuesday, I think it was, and they showed us all that. So it's, very good ministry. Excellent. But I just forgot to add, they'd like us to bring some food for morning tea after the World Day of Prayer too. So
okay,
if anyone can do that, that would be great.
Yeah.
The Anglican Church on Wapperwell.
Yeah. So the Anglican Church down here is starting to do that as
they
well.
They also have a 24-hour pantry, and I think they provide hampers and things on Thursday, think. Yeah, Thursday.
Brisbane West Uniting Church at Moggill does some things as well. I see a bit of a blurb that the Greens are starting up their free Thursday night meals at the park in... What's the name of the park? Acuna Park? Yeah, Thursday nights as well. So just to mention some other things as well. So during the week, and so those of you who are on the prayer network will know that we had the news that Ben Hulse's sister died during the week. So Ben used to be a part of our life together here. I talked to Ben on the phone during the week as well. And his sister had a few chronic conditions for a while, but they weren't necessarily expecting her to die, but she did during the week. And a couple of us will be keeping in touch with Ben in regards to that. So please keep... and also, on Monday night, David Locke died. Now, you might not know that name, but his daughter Jenny and family have been with us numerous times. David and his wife Anne live at Fairview, and as you might recall the end of last year when Phoebe was here, that's his granddaughter, she came and talked about her ministry at Canberra Uni. That's the family, that's Jenny, and you'd know Jenny, she was here last week, sitting over here, and I've been having quite a lot of contact with them over the last little while, and including on Monday, and we will have a memorial service for him here next Sunday afternoon at 2:00. Okay, and so we've been toing and froing a little bit about that, but it'll be a memorial service next Sunday afternoon at 2:00. So please keep that family, and Brenda knows them very, very well and has had a beautiful ministry with them of care and support as well, and just want to acknowledge that, Brenda, as well. Thank you for that. Please pray for them. Andrew Hayes, now you're heading off soon, aren't you, on some holidays. We know you trip around with your work and that sort of thing. Just want to grab that mic and just come out here for a little bit, if that's okay. He knew this was happening. It's okay,
sort of,
at least I think I did. Now, I don't know how much you want to say or not say, but so who's going? Is it you and...
It's just me and a group of other people.
Okay, you and a group of other people. Do you want to say about where you're going or anything?
I'm going to Sri Lanka for 3 weeks, so I won't be here for Cool and Classic. Sorry.
Yeah, so 3 weeks over to Sri Lanka, which will be a really... fantastic trip, I imagine. And as we often do, just as people head off for a while, we say a prayer for them, and I want to do that, Andrew. So perhaps just come over this way a bit further if you're comfortable with that. Lord our God, we thank you for the opportunities that we have from time to time to explore other parts of your amazing world. And we pray particularly for Andrew and those with whom he is travelling for these next 3 weeks or so. As he goes, we send him out and pray for your blessing upon him and all the practical things that need to happen with that trip, but also just for the enjoyment of it. And as he goes, may he be very conscious of your presence and of your peace that goes with him and before him. In the name of Christ, amen. God bless. You can keep hanging on to that. A couple of other things. We're almost there. Jenny from Refreshed, Jenny over here. I've remembered Jenny to mention about the things outside. So, that's good. So there's a bunch of things outside. That's getting picked up on Tuesday. Monday, Tuesday, early in the week. Salvos will get things. So if feel free just to go out and have a look if there's something that appeals to you there, or you know that might be helpful to someone else, then that is free to take. Anything else I need to say about that, Jenny? That's it. Shortly we'll have the Lent event video. So Lent event, a part of Uniting World, and shortly we'll have that up on the screen, a couple of things about that. The other thing I want to mention is that during the week, I got this completely out of the blue phone call from someone from the Synod office, and ultimately someone from Queensland Churches Together. Queensland Churches Together is one of those great ecumenical bodies that do some really wonderful things. They're looking to promote some of their work and ministry in the rural areas of Queensland, and they're looking for kind of rural vibe sort of church building that they could do some filming in. Their budget doesn't extend to going out into rural areas, so they're looking, Brookfield Uniting, that didn't quite have worked out. Someone told them about the Pioneer Church might work, and so they're going for it. They gave me a call and said, let's do it. So that's Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock, and we need one or two other people that like the minister shakes the hand and says a couple of things. I think I've got a couple of speaking parts, but you won't, I don't think. But yes, Wendy?
Do we have to wear flannelette shirts? Or a
boobies? It might be a little too subtle, possibly. But it was really good to talk to her, because I was able to say, look, I've got a very soft spot for this kind of ministry in rural areas, and so it all kind of fits together. But, and also there's a bit of a country vibe down there, that sort of thing. So one or two people. So if you'd like to cut, now it's good to know that you'll be here. And as I said to Wendy during the week, this could be our big break, folks. So, you know, if you're looking to get into the Australian film industry or Hollywood, small steps can often lead to big things. So please let me know who the one or two are that are going to come along. I think just come along and basically be there, and I'll shake your hand and say something about QCT. So 8 o'clock. Gemma, I think we're right to go. So Lent event is something that the congregation has often supported. And so each week we'll have just a couple of slides up plus a video. The first week focuses on Timor-Leste, which is one of those places across that area, across the Pacific and Asia, that is really in desperate need often in various ways. And there's just a short video, I think it's a couple of minutes, and hopefully when you hit one of these enter buttons, Gemma, it all should start working.
These families rely on what they can grow to survive. Unpredictable floods or drought can wipe out their livelihoods overnight. Before the sun came to our village, there were no other NGOs who were helping to feed our children. So their kilos were low and their health was bad, but we didn't know what to do. With the help of Uniting Church donors, Uniting World began the Kitchen Garden Project with a partner, Suna, flew across the church in his sleep. Focusing on small, determined family groups like Martyrs, the project provides training, tools, climate smart seeds, and hands-on support to get gardens growing and families fed. And there's enough left over to sell, too. Sometimes from the market, we earn $5 to send our children to school and buy our daily needs like coffee and sugar. We also save $1 each week, and now we have $340 we can lend to other groups that they pay back with interest. It's for emergencies and for the future. The project has completely turned life around. Our community nurse visits regularly to teach about nutrition, clean water and sanitation, and provide health checks for pregnant moms. Since the start of the project just 1 year ago, malnutrition in this village has dropped to zero. We started bringing our kids to the health nurse for them to check their weight and show us how to cook their meals. And now their kilos are so much better. We've seen that climate change fuels global hunger, but we also know how to fight it. Climate smart farming, clean water, health and education. For these kids, the faith-filled action you can take today will help build a hopeful future. One person, one place, one project at a time.
So each week we'll have something there. And of course, Uniting World is one of the, and there are many projects of what we support here as well. The final thing before we sing Jesus is the King is to draw your attention to the news sheet and the open doors list that I've included for this week. Each week I normally include someone, some nation from Open Doors. And this week included reference to their top 50 countries across the planet that are the dangerous to be a Christian in. And I've simply listed the top 10 there. And all of us have connection with someone from at least one of those places. Okay. Please pray and reflect on our own situation with thankful hearts and compassionate hearts as you look down that list. There are very difficult things that are happening across those places and beyond, and we do very well to pray for them and to reflect on our own nation. Last week we had a song, Jesus is the King, and who we got here today? We got Natalie over there. So Natalie, do you just want to come? Maybe if you want to sit with Natasha just for a moment while we sing this song, would that be okay? And now we kind of learnt this a little bit last week, so see how we go. It talks about, or you can sit with, you can sit anywhere we want, really. That's right. You don't need me to tell you that, do you, Malcolm? And So Jesus is the King, the ruler over it. Because last week we were talking about the transfiguration and Jesus as the Son of God being transformed. And Jesus is the King, the fishermen came. Anyway, it's great. So let's just go through these there, Gemma, and then it all should start. The fishermen come. Yep. Again, the chorus. Wind and the waves, be still, and they did. And then the chorus. The last one is the Easter message that he was risen. And here we go. So just now we'll stand. We haven't stood for a while, so perhaps stand as we do this. Jesus is the King, and it'll start.
Jesus is
Us first. Seated. Thanks, Andrew.
The gospel reading for today comes from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So you see at the top there, mini message one. Actually a couple of messages this morning, but not particularly lengthy. So let's see how we go. Sometimes, the first one is particularly looking at, and maybe why there's two will become obvious shortly, okay? Just to emphasize, particularly the message of the first one. Sometimes there's a temptation, and I use that word quite intentionally, sometimes there's a temptation to think of this passage that Andrew just read along these lines. Jesus did not give in to temptations, neither should I. Now that's a great goal, and sometimes it's achievable, but that's not what the passage is about. As the passage is about that, the fact that Jesus was tempted, but we are not tempted as Jesus was. Jesus was tempted, was tested as the Son of God to choose a way other than that which was the way of God his Father to restore us to God. That's what Jesus is being tempted about. We don't get tempted to do that. So just a few things about this passage, and then the second part of the message will be a bit more reflection for us, hopefully. Really interesting, just a few notes as we go, that the Spirit, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. The Spirit led him there. This was God's idea. This was God's idea that Jesus would do this. Okay, again, as just as Jesus' baptism to fulfill all righteousness, and here particularly to be confirmed and identified as the Son of God. the Spirit leads him there. And of course, the other thing is, this interesting mix that Jesus is the Son of God, yes, but he's also us as well, that up to 40 days and 40 nights he's hungry. So Jesus is one who is tired, who gets hungry, who gets thirsty, and yet he's also the Son of God. So this passage tells us ultimately something about Jesus, and as we looked at last week, who he is. Who is this Jesus? Jesus was tempted as we are, as it says, just the next slide, I think, because we read this in Hebrews 4, really great passage. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus was tempted as we are, but we are not tempted as he was. Really interesting that these three verses, so Jesus quotes scripture back to the tempter. And these three verses are from Deuteronomy, from particularly Deuteronomy chapter 6, thereabouts. And let me just get the right thing here. So Deuteronomy chapter 8 and then chapter 6. And they're all passages in which Moses is recalling to the people of Israel their struggles, their failure in the desert. So they're out in the desert, out in the wilderness, and each of these verses comes from Deuteronomy where Moses is saying to the people, you failed to do what God wanted you to do. So the bit about bread, you know, bread, man should not live by bread alone. Moses says that to the people with the whole manna incident, where they were grumbling about manna all day, manna this, manna that. They were grumbling, you know, we're better off back in Egypt than this. And so all of these verses that Jesus quotes is from God's people failing to do what God wanted to do in the wilderness. And here, Jesus is doing exactly what God wants him to do in the wilderness. Jesus is the one true Israel. Where the people of God failed, Jesus did not. And that's one of the things that can be really encouraging for us as well. Because we all fall short of what God wants for us. That's why we look to Jesus, because he didn't. It gets to the end of this and it says that Satan left him for another time. And there were some other times when Jesus was tempted, and we don't. In some ways, this was the first lot of temptations, but we get them at other times, because there's a bit where Peter, Jesus is talking about the Son of Man must suffer and die and be raised to life. And Peter says to him, no way, Lord, that is not going to happen to you. And Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan. You have the things of man in mind and not the things of God. That's the same thing that we hear in the passage today, because Peter is saying to Jesus, this is not the way that you are to go. And that's what the temptations in Matthew 4 are about, where Satan says to Jesus, there is another way that you can do this apart from the way that your father has told you. Peter says the same thing, and Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus praying, if there be another way, please, Father, take this cup from me. If there be another way than the way that I am about to walk, surely there's another way, Jesus is saying. That's part of the anguish of the Garden of Gethsemane. Even on the cross, those who are accusing him and deriding him cry out, if you really are the Son of God, then call down the angels to come and minister to you. If you are the Son of God. which is what Satan says to Jesus in Matthew 4. If you are the Son of God, then make these stones become bread. But ultimately, Jesus says, no, I'm going to trust the word that comes from my Father and to know the way that I am to walk. That's what I'm going to do. And he does that. We're going to sing, and we'll just sing a couple of verses of, and then just the second part of the message this morning. So we'll just sing the first two verses, and they're here somewhere, of How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. And we'll stand to sing. Separate this was again just to emphasize that primarily this passage is about Jesus and not us. Okay, Jesus is tempted as we are, but we weren't tempted as Jesus was. But nevertheless, what do we do with that? Now, one thing I said was that is that we look to Jesus and know at the times that we fail, the times that we fall down, we know that in Jesus is one who obeyed. So this is the second one. I just want to pick up on this word, if. Because that's one of the words that, you know, the tempter says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, then this. Because sometimes people throw at us if statements or if questions. Every now and then lately, like last year, I discovered this American country music group called the Red Clay Strays. They sing a lot of songs. It took them about 10 years to be an overnight success. They're one of that kind of thing. You know, they've been around for a long time, but they're just suddenly going great guns. They sing a lot about God and are very upfront about that. A lot of their songs are about God and the struggle of life to do that. And I couldn't help but think of this. This is the opening line of one of their songs. Some days the devil baits a hook to see if I will bite. I thought, man, that's a great line. Sometimes the devil baits a hook to see if I will bite. A lot of times it feels like I just can't do right, but I know that God does. God does. Wherever I'm lacking, it's he who makes me whole, shining through the darkness and cleaning out my soul. While I'm fighting daily battles on him, I can depend. Can depend. To see if I will bite. Because sometimes there's those days when we bite, that hook comes along and it's too much for us. Then there are other times when people throw a whole bunch of if questions or statements at us, which get us kind of here a bit, of fighting daily battles and trying to understand what God asks of us. So sometimes it might be in conversation with people who are not really into God, Jesus, but say something like this. If Jesus is who you say he is, then why is the world in such a mess? If Jesus is who you say he is, then why the pain? Why the pain? If Jesus is who you claim him to be, then why doesn't God just intervene in stuff going on? If Jesus is who you claim him to be, then why are Christians and the church so hypocritical? You get that one a bit. I know you're looking for the answer to these questions, aren't you? It's not coming, folks. It is, yes. If Jesus is who you claim him to be, how come you got cancer? See, sometimes in some shape or form, people throw these if questions at us. I mean, and it's about their understanding of who God is. See, if God is who you think him to be, then this is the way the world should be. This is how you should be. But we know that's not the case. We know that's not the case. And that's where passages such as this can help us. And there's a whole bunch of sermons right there, but two things. One, as Jesus went to the scriptures, we do. And secondly, to be able to say, well, this is what I do know. This is the hope that Jesus brings to me, and that's what I want to tell you. Now, that's just a couple of ways that might be helpful, because it needs to be your authentic response, because they are authentic questions. Why is the world such a mess? I want to just, and this is again our journey through Lent, and by the time we get to Easter Day, some of those questions will be a little bit clearer for us, okay? They'll be a bit clearer for us, the answers to that. Thanks, Gemma. And you've heard me talk a little bit about Kate Bowler lately, and Kate Bowler from the States, really wrestling as a Christian person with what's going on in the States. She's provide a lot of really interesting reflections for Lent. And this is one of the things she says about at the start of Lent. Lent's not designed to fix us. It's a season that tells the truth about what it means to be human, finite, dependent, unfinished. It's a season that refuses the cultural lie that everything is solvable if we just try harder, think better thoughts, or curate our lives more carefully. This is the time of year when the church sides with loss, when God walks the downslope, when Jesus moves toward hunger, rejection, and death instead of away from them. And somehow we are invited to follow. You are welcome here. In a world allergic to limits, Lent is a recalibration. It doesn't ask us to be cheerful, it asks us to be honest about our exhaustion, our fear, the disappointments we carry quietly. I want to finish with this prayer. It's in the order of service. It's by Reverend Carissa Sulu, who is the president of the Uniting Church Assembly. God, as we enter this Lenten season, lead us with your Son into the wilderness, the place of quiet, the place of testing, the place where we learn again to trust you. When the path feels uncertain, steady our steps. When distractions crowd our hearts, call us back to yourself. When we feel our weakness, remind us that we are your beloved. Form in us a deeper hunger for your presence. Teach us to depend on your word. Shape us through these 40 days so that our lives may reflect the grace of Christ. Walk with us, Lord Jesus, and bring us in time to the joy of your resurrection, hope, and peace. In the name of Christ, amen. Thanks, Gemma. All right. So we'll receive our offering and then an offering prayer and our prayers for others. Thank you. Have I missed something? Yes, that'll do. Yeah, that'll be fine. Just verse 5 of How Sweet the Sound. Okay, thank you. We receive our offering. God of grace and truth, we give thanks for Jesus' witness to the power of your Spirit, guiding and strengthening him in times of testing. Bless and accept this visible evidence of our thanksgiving as we offer these gifts in the service of our lives. As we embark on our Lenten journey, guide and strengthen us with the Holy Spirit to follow Jesus where he takes us. Amen.
Prayers for the world and community with thanks to Fig Tree Worship Resources and Senator David Pocock. Loving Lord, we come to you with our prayers. We come as your people, trusting that you hear our prayers and understand our needs. Yesterday I read a post by Senator David Pocock and it spoke to me. It gave me hope. It reminded me that the world we live in is populated by people of many faiths. We all pray for a world that sees all people as vulnerable, that sees human condition as basically good and kind. We pray that those in power seek to serve all in their communities and to continue to support those in need. David talks about an intersection of faith that does not occur very often. He wrote, "This week, Muslims begin Ramadan, Christians enter the season of Lent, Easter and Orthodox Easter will follow. Jewish families will gather for Passover. Across continents and cultures, millions of people will fast, reflect, pray, gather, give thanks, and seek renewal. Different traditions, different histories, but a shared human rhythm. It's a reminder that beneath our politics and our differences, we are bound by something deeper, our longing for meaning, for connection, and for hope. In an increasingly noisy and divided world, these sacred seasons invite us to slow down, to practice compassion, to look after one another, to remember that none of us walks alone. As Desmond Tutu reminded us, we are human through our relations with others. We can only be human together. Wherever you are and whatever you believe, may this be a time of reflection, generosity, and renewed commitment to our common humanity." David Pocock. We pray for our world, and as we watch and read the media, we wonder how such power-hungry and violent people gain control. We wonder how children get possession of weapons and learn how to use them. We wonder how the guardians of our peace and safety cannot help. We wonder what the real stories are. We give these concerns to you and ask for guidance for our behaviour and peace in our hearts, Help us to always respond with love. We pray for Tima Leste in this first week of Lent. We pray for our church and communities. May we and other leaders respond appropriately in crises and give whatever and whenever, wherever we can. We pray for those sick and in care, grieving, sad, and lacking hope, and all those who care for them. We pray for Ben Hulse as he grieves the passing of his sister Megan. We pray for David Locke, his wife Anne, Jenny and her sister Kath, and various members of their family as they mourn the passing of David. May they now find solace in his passing. We pray for ourselves, deep in our hearts that we dare not say aloud. Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our final hymn and then a blessing. When I Survey. There's a few children's sheets here, and I don't know, maybe Natasha and Atali might be able to take some, and for Xavier as well. But if there's some sheets that you'd like for some of the children in your life, there's some here ready to go. More next week, but also visited Joan Wilcox during the week. Joan is one of the contributors for this edition of With Love to the World, and a little bit more about that next week. That's fairly significant, really. And we look forward to joining in morning tea after the service. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.